بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of عمدة الأحكام and we have reached the hadith number 33 and we are talking about matters of state of purification from janaba, from sexual defilement. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كنت أغسل الجنابة من ثوب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيخرج إلى الصلاة وإن بقع الماء في ثوبه. وفي لفظ لمسلم لقد كنت أفركه من ثوب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فركا فيصلي فيه. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها said كنت أغسل الجنابة, I used to wash it, the janaba, of the clothes of Allah's here she refers of course to the many, to the semen. I used to wash it off the clothes of Allah's messenger, and he would go for the prayers while water spots were still visible on them. And on the narration reported by Muslim, she said, when I saw that on the garment of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I simply scrapped it off, and he offered prayer while putting that on. The narrator is Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her biography was explained in the previous narration. And the subject of the hadith is explaining the manner of removing the semen from the garment, explaining the manner to remove the semen from the garment. So when she said, I used to wash al-janaba, she referred to the semen. And she referred to it as water spots. The overall explanation of this hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates the manner of removing the semen from the clothes of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that sometimes she used to wash it and sometimes she used to simply scrape it off. So if the semen, if the spots were wet, she used to wash them. If they were still wet, she used to wash them. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would go to the salah and the spots of water on his garment before coming dry or becoming dry. And that when the spots were dry, she used to scrap them off to remove them. And then he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to go without washing them, without washing them. The benefits of this hadith, the benefits of this hadith. First benefit is, the semen is pure. Because had it been not as such, it would not have been purified by mere scrapping. So the semen is pure. Secondly, what's legal is to remove its remain, and the manner is to wash it when it is wet and to scrape it off when it is dry. And if the person washes it even when it's dry, then that is okay. 3. The merits of Aisha radiallahu anha, because of her serving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this there is another great benefit. How would we know about all these matters of purification had it not been for the mothers of the believers who related to us the very private life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and so we learn from that a great deal of knowledge regarding matters of worship, which are very particular and very private. The second hadith حديث number 34 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا جلس بين شعبها الأربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب الغسل. وفي لفظ لمسلم وإن لم ينزل. And the hadith reported by Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when a man sits in between the four parts of a woman and did the sexual intercourse with her, bath becomes compulsory. Taking a bath becomes compulsory. And in the narration by Muslim, وَإِن لَمْ يُنزِلْ, even if he does not ejaculate. The narrator is Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه. Again, the biography had been given in hadith number 2. The biography of Abu Hurairah had been explained in hadith number 2. The subject matter of this hadith is explaining the ruling of taking a bath from sexual intercourse, following sexual intercourse. So here in this hadith, when a man sits between the four parts of the woman are meant here, her hands and her legs. And then, ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا, meaning then he indulges in the actual intercourse. And therefore, under this situation, bath becomes compulsory, even if he does not ejaculate. Because this effort of sexual intercourse is sufficient that it requires taking a bath so that the body refreshes its activity. The benefits of this hadith. That the sexual intercourse entails taking a bath upon the man and the woman, the spouses, whether there is ejaculation or not, whether ejaculation takes place or not. Second benefit, permissibility to resort to indication rather than explicit descriptions, because the term used in the Arabic jahadaha, this indicates the sexual intercourse but not explicit. The hadith 35, next hadith. عن أبي جعفر محمد بن علي بن الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهم أنه كان هو وأبوه عند جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما وعنده قوم فسألوه عن الغسل فقال يكفيك صاع فقال رجل ما يكفيني فقال جابر: كان يكفي من هو أوفى منك شعرا وخيرا منك، يريد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم أمنا في ثوب، ثم أمنا في ثوب. وفي لفظ: كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفرغ على رأسه ثلاثا. In this hadith of Abi Ja'far, Muhammad bin Ali bin Hussein bin Ali, the son of Ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, that he was with his father while I and my father were with Jabir ibn Abdullah. Some people asked him about taking a bath. He replied, a sa' of water. A sa' of water. And the sa' is 2040 grams of weight of wheat, of good wheat. This is the equivalent of the sa'. So it's about 2 liters, about 2 liters of water, roughly. So he said, a sa'. So a man said, a sa' of water is sufficient to you. So a man said, a sa' is not sufficient for me. Is not sufficient for me. Jabir responded, a sa' was sufficient for one who had more hair than you and was better than you. Meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Jabir put on his garment and led the prayer. And in one narration, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam used to pour on his head 3 handfuls of water. And this was narrated earlier from the hadith of Maymuna. The narrator is Abu Ja'far Muhammad bin Ali ibn al-Husayn bin Ali bin Abi Talib al-Qurashi al-Hashimi rahimahullah. He is from the Tabi'een, from the successors to the companions. He is from the Tabi'een. And he is known by the name Al-Baqir. الباقر لأنه تعمق في العلم وتوسع فيه, because he went in depth concerning seeking knowledge. وكان ثقة فاضلة, and he was a trustworthy and meritorious person who died in Medina سنة 110 ودفن بالبقية around 110 after Hijra. And he was buried in Al-Baqi'. The subject matter of this hadith is the amount of water needed to take a bath. The amount of water that is sufficient for ghusl. The amount of water which is sufficient for ghusl. The biographies of some of those who were mentioned in the hadith. Ali ibn al-Husayn, who is the father of Abi Ja'far. He is also from the Tabi'een, from the successors, a trustworthy faqih, jurist, and a devout worshipper, known as Zainul Abidin, famous for the name Zainul Abidin. He died the year 93 after Hijrah. Died 93 after Hijrah in Medina. And he was buried in Al-Baqi'a. He was buried in Al-Baqi'a. The other narrator is Jabir bin Abdullah. Jabir bin Abdullah. He is the son of Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram al-Ansari al-Sulami radiyallahu anhu. He witnessed the Aqaba, of the pledge of the Aqaba, and he shared in the battles with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all the battles except the battle of Badr and Uhud, where his father prevented him so that he can stay with his sisters. And when his father was martyred in the battle of Uhud, he married woman so that she can stay with his sisters. Afterwards, he did not leave any battle except that he shared in them. He narrated many narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he used to have a circle of knowledge in the Prophet's masjid for hadith and for knowledge. Jabir bin Abdullah died in Medina the year 74 after Hijrah. 74 after Hijrah. So Jabir had a circle of knowledge in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina, where he used to teach hadith and knowledge. And he died in Medina Sanat Arba wa Sabain, in the year 74 after Hijrah. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. About the man in this hadith, this man is Al-Hasan bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Abi Talib. Al-Hasan bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Abi Talib, the man mentioned in the hadith. Trustworthy tabi'i, from the tabi'in, from the successors to the companions. He died around the year 100. And his father is Muhammad bin Ali bin Abi Talib, or referred to as Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. In reference to his mother, Khawla bin Ja'far. She was one of the captives of Bani Hanifa. She was a captive from the captives of Bani Hanifa. A trustworthy tabi'i. This is his father. A trustworthy tabi'i who died in the year 80 after Hijrah. The overall explanation of this hadith. People used to sit to Jabir in the circles of knowledge, receiving knowledge from Jabir bin Abdullah. And in this hadith, Jabir narrates, Muhammad bin Ali bin al-Husayn narrates that he and his father, Ali bin al-Husayn, were with Jabir, and there are other men, there were other men present also. So, Muhammad bin Ali asked Jabir concerning al-ghusl, concerning how much water is needed to take a bath. So Jabir said, yakfika sa', sufficient for you is a sa'. And we know now the sa', it's about 2040 grams of good wheat, equivalent to almost 2 liters plus. And here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to take a bath using this quantity, and he is the best example. So Al-Hasan bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Abi Talib said, لا يكفيني, this is not sufficient for me. Why? Because he had a lot of hair. So Jabir responded strongly that it used to be sufficient for someone who had more hair than you and better than you in taqwa, in piety, and in seeking reward for completing the ghusl or completing the purification. Referring to whom? To the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is as if he is telling him, إن كان الصاع لا يكفيك لكثرة شعرك, if the صاع is not sufficient for you because of you have too much hair, then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had more hair than you. And if it were not sufficient for you for seeking completion of and perfection in your ghusl, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was better than you in that. Yet, even so, he used that quantity, and that quantity was sufficient for him. And he used to pour 3 times on his head. Then Jabir led the salah, led them all in salah. He put on his garment and led them the prayer. The benefits of this hadith: the keenness of the Salaf to follow the Sunnah, even in the quantity needed for purification. And that the sa' is sufficient, the sa' of water is sufficient to take a bath from janaba, from sexual defilement. Thirdly, the permissibility to pour the water on the head 3 times during ghusl. Fourthly, responding with harshness sometimes if it is needed against those who may oppose the sunnah. If it is needed, and if there is a maslaha, if there is a benefit in that. Because he said to him, that was sufficient for someone who is better than you, for the one who is better than you, referring to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he led the prayer in one garment, and therefore this indicates the permissibility of performing the salah in one garment, if it covers the person and shields him, even though he is an imam. This brings the end of the discussion of this hadith, and inshallah ta'ala, in the next class will be the discussion on at-tayammum, chapter on tayammum, dry ablution. That will be in the next chapter inshallah. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.